Okay, I'm going to play some important ION information. Michael Edmonds was on the phone with me, and the next day his phone was still going. That's Bob ION cooperation on his phone. I was listening to the McClune birthday. That's what it was, McClune's birthday party. Is that you helping the phone, ION?
That'd be it.
Yeah, all right. Yes, I just wanted to point out how ION will help some people's phones, or if I'm involved, then the phone can go for 24 hours. So Michael Edmonds had noticed that next day his phone was still alive, hadn't run out. So I just double-checked. So we'll move forward to the next topic.
If you're going to tell somebody to fuck off, it's much better to tell an angel to fuck off than is to tell a god to fuck off. That's the moral to the story. Remember, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that trilogy, the trinity of a trilogy that is the difference between you and you and you. That's the first time where you mentioned three yous, ION, you and you and you.
Yes, but now we've done it empirically all the way through the kingdoms. But you had to piece that together. You did, but nobody else did.
Is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost refer to the three kingdoms?
It does. That's what you concluded.
All right, so the Father would be the outer kingdom, the Son would be the inner kingdom, and the Holy Ghost would be the middle kingdom.
Okay. Yep.
You don't care which names we put on it.
Well, yeah, because if we say that, then you'll make it a preachy thing and get on
right.
Some soapbox somewhere, and then Judas is scared.
Okay, I got you. I got that. So what is the difference between, what is the first you and the second you and the third you? What are they? What are they made up of?
Conditional responses to outward influences.
All three are that?
In and out every step of the way, every way.
In and out. So each you, and the three yous, each you is all three kingdoms, or is involved with three kingdoms.
See, you got to take your life and take it backwards, make it a then, a now, and an always. If you can do that, you win. A then,
right.
A now, and an always.
Now, where is that in the angel diagram?
Through the whole thing. It's
that's
now,
a summary of the
always.
Diagram.
That would be your cell, your life. Your life, if you look at your life that way, to make it a cell, that's how to say it. See, your life is your cell, but your cell is your life. Without that cell, you couldn't even sustain. That's why you have to separate yourself then, even as little men, just because you can't stand it anymore.
So the then, the now, and an always. The then is past blue perfect?
It would be, in the land that our grandchildren knew.
And what would be the now? That would not be a tense, a grammatical tense.
To be.
Is. To is.
To be. To be.
And so now is to be, and then always, is there a grammatical term for that?
Which is that triangulated position.
The outcome.
Well, predicated, but it is an outcome.
And you could see that in what we call the 4X formula?
Yes, it is still there.
Still in the 4X formula. Now, back to our questions. We were doing the then, you, and always.
Then, now, and always.
Is there a grammatical term for always?
Ever present.
Ever present. Okay, so the grammar applies to the then. That's the past pluperfect. And to me, that means the neutrino world. Everything's already happened, and then there are past ratios within that. Everything's already happened. That's the meaning of past pluperfect?
We don't mind. We don't hate it. It's okay.
And then the is subject to ourness and wasness. And that is not part of the always, correct?
Correct.
All right. Okay, a little more on that. We move forward to 56, 53.
But do you already have, there's nothing left. Poor Puerto Rico can't even file for bankruptcy. There's nothing to bankrupt. Poor these countries can't. I mean, they do the math on this. They're not anything. They can't even... inspire themselves. They can't even blow. They have to blow themselves up. Then all that means is that everybody that lives there can't live there because they have no economy, so they all have to leave. So the last man left got to pay the bill, $82 billion. Got to pay the bill. It's got to be paid.
Who's it paid to?
Well, to investors.
All right. So is Mexico in the same boat as Puerto Rico?
It's worse.
Who's doing the killing of the young students in that? More and more is happening. Is it just angry death squads?
Nah. Remember you asked us ever so long ago that it wouldn't be long before you'd have to have an armed guard to take you to the movies. Remember we went through
yes.
stuff that was the funniest thing. You're like, I mean, you actually think people are going to go, I said, it's going to be blood in the streets. Remember, blood in the streets. You won't be drive-by shooting. The four-year-old gets shot in the head, and people just they didn't get shot at. Now they go in the movie, and you could be getting a lot of going screen fire, and you turn around, now they're blowing their goddamn heads off. Every time you turn around, then they shoot themselves and shoot everybody else, and then they try to go to jail, and they don't go to jail, and they want to go to jail. They get caught, and then they're crazy, and they don't know that they're crazy. Now you're going to have metal detectors and FEMA cramp, and you won't even be able to go to the movies. It's going to hurt Hollywood, because Hollywood's trying to get you to go to the movies to see what they got to say, because they can present it like nobody else. Metro Goldwyn Mayor is what it's all about. But now you're going to have an Uzi to go sit and watch on Golden Pond from now on. So we have no idea. I guess close all the movie theaters because that's where the best killing takes place. Now, in the physical. But you knew this already, Bob, because you said once we left the LaRouche Quadrant and moved through the tiny note, there would be nothing left. That's what you said. So
right. You
better ask yourself.
We have one more item, but we'll play it later because Ion is back, and we will introduce Ion to Greg or Ginny. Anything you want to talk to Ion about, Greg or Ginny?
Hey.
How's Deer Park?
Lovely, lovely. The Biltmore and the Grove Park was just lovely. The weather cooperated with our thermostats, and all is good in the world of the Vanderbilt, so to speak.
As it were.
That's right, yes. Well, we're wishing certainly JW an HB, and may his naming day go on for many more.
Yeah.
Ion, these little particles of airplane, I guess, again, we just got on the radio here, so I don't know if it's been answered, but they found some of MH370 supposedly. And I was wondering, does things, what's the words I want to use, shift down or through from other worlds to this world if there's desiring of, and in this case, evidence of a plane disappearing?
Well,
does it shift back and forth?
Yes. Yes, they certainly could. Yes, they certainly might, but not in this case. In this case, you have a country, China. They're pissed because they get real funny about all this blah, 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 and they can't figure out how they know everything in the whole wide world. They know what the stock market's going to be, what the Shanghai is going to do. They know where Standard Chartered lost all their money, but they can't find a simple airplane or pieces of it. This isn't the first one. This is one of many. So what the country, China, is doing is planting debris here and there, for the families that are very much in arms to have closure in this case.
Of course. Yes. Very good. Okay, as I suspected, sir, and you had already predicted that a couple of years ago in a discussion we had. So it's come to fruition.
We certainly did. And it was funny when we said it back then. What you gonna do when planes, whole 740s? Well, we said 767s. We hadn't really quite got to those yet either. But anyhow, the plane that we were describing that were disappearing in the 777s were just going off the blip, gone forever, world to other world. And then all of a sudden it starts happening, and they put it in the Googler now, so it's done forever.
Well, thank God the environment's not changing, or we'd really see some things happening, eh?
Yeah, I know it is. The roof is on fire.
Ginny Bell, you got any questions?
Hi, Ion.
Hey, we love us some Ginny Bell.
Oh, thank you, Ion. Now, I'm just greening down the road. We're coming back from dinner, but I did have a couple notes on the computer, so I'll get back on when we get home. How's that?
Yeah, what great fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank
right.
you.
Thank you,
all
Bob.
Right, so where are we at?
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
British Columbia, 250-339. Who's that?
This is John, Bob.
Where the fuck you been for a year and a half?
Well, I've called in a lot of times and didn't get through.
No, you haven't. You have been noticed. Your absence has been noted every week by me for the last year and a half or so.
I've called in, but, you know, I don't stay on for all that long, and then I go off.
Okay. What's your question?
My brother transitioned on June 6th.
Yes.
I'd like to talk to him.
Go ahead. Just go into it. Go into it. We can do anything.
All right. So my question is to my brother, why now? You weren't that old, so why did you decide to transition now?
Done with it all.
Where are you now, and where are you going?
Happy.
Any message for the family?
Endure.
Yeah, endure. Which is why you decided not to endure, is that right?
Correct.
Did you choose ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease?
It chose me.
So once it got going, if you changed your mind, you couldn't do anything about it?
It got too comfortable.
Your wife said you, the two of you entered a spiritual level where you could read her mind. Would you agree with that?
Most certainly, but it was pretty easy to do. She has the same thoughts, you know.
But you couldn't do that before. You could only do that with the progression of ALS.
Perception and modality shift when you increase. Sometimes when you limit hearingness, you increase sightedness. Well, the experience is the same. The difference is that you note it at a more extreme level. That's all.
I'm not sure I follow that. My thought was that because you weren't thinking the way you used to, your mind was out of the road, so now you could get more psychic and just use gifts that were latent?
No.
Wasn't that. I'm going to switch to a little bit of physics. I've noticed with positive and negative charge, the way they emerge in physical is asymmetrical. You get negative charge on a really small particle called, you know, it's a negative charge, whereas positive charge is in a proton, which is much larger. And physics will divide a proton into one-third charges, which seems to me to be more of a mathematical convenience.
They're one-eighth charges, not one-thirds.
One-eighth charge. So now you got eight quarks?
At a time.
Why would an electron be complete and a proton be divided up and much larger? Why there's an asymmetry there, and so I'm curious about, because there's nothing in physics that would explain that kind of asymmetry.
Physics can't even explain physics.
Can you explain why there would be such a difference between negative and positive charge?
It's not a negative and a positive charge. It's the distance between the polar equation. It's the distance between them.
So the distance would then explain why an electron is so small and a proton so big?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Hey, John. John.
Yeah?
This is Dan. Ask Ion, since you get yourself relevant here, ask him what you're trying to find out and what he just said. How does that relate to our cult play? Get right into something that's happening. He may not answer it, but try.
You know, I don't know much about your cold play, but Ion did mention a positron in relation to cold play, or at least the eye cell.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so one question I have is, the electron and positron are about the same size, is that right?
Relatively speaking, because not necessarily. See, you're gauging something based on an outcome, which may not necessarily be that.
What I'm curious about is, you get electron and positron, which are similar sizes, but they don't attract. Well, they do, but when they meet, they annihilate.
They repel until to make the distance, the greatest distance from north to south pole, connect. That's how that works.
So they don't annihilate?
They can. It's not their drive. But they certainly can.
Why does a positron and a proton behave so differently?
They don't behave differently.
Well, as far as I know, a positron will attract an electron, and I don't know if they ever meet or not. I don't really know.
That's the point. It's anything that extends the distance between the North Pole and the South Pole, the quickest, fastest, and Occam's razor is what always happens. So all that other gobbledygook conversation doesn't apply.
So you're saying the fundamental force is repulsion?
Completely.
Which is associated with the idea of expansion, is that right?
It might expand, but it doesn't matter.
If everything is repulsing, the idea
everything, just the distance between the furthest magnetic field, the north and south, the reason they click together is to make the further distance between the poles. Everything that can extend that pole further is what's happening. So the magnet doesn't attract. It's just making the distance greater between the two polar ends.
Yeah, but you're talking about magnetism. I was talking about electric charge. Are you saying they behave the same way?
No, we're saying they don't behave the same thing. They are the same way.
Bob, can you help me out here?
We could come up with another question. How does repulsion, or whatever you just learned or were sighing about, how does that relate to our cold play?
Okay, good question. Does cold play rely on repulsion?
No.
It doesn't rely on repulsion.
Okay, no, this is a good point. So that's what's new about it, Ion, so that the normal physics that John's asking about involves repulsion, but that's, quote, obsolete or altered by our cold play. Is that what you're saying, Ion?
Basically.
So, John, you don't want to spend too much time on the old way of concepts. I mean, I know that we're going to change a lot of things. That's why I don't encourage people to study the
okay.
old stuff.
All right. Does cold play involve positive and negative charge?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And north-south pole?
Correct.
It doesn't include north-south pole?
That's correct.
What are you sighing about? You should be happy.
I should be happy.
It's like John's all dim. You mean I've wasted my life studying the old crap, and I'm not going to get used any of it. That's
well,
right,
I don't
John.
Spend
get happy.
Does cold play involve classical forces in any way?
Not as you know them.
Well, if I don't know them, they're probably not classical, because, I mean...
No, not as you know. You know them, and Coldplay is not applicable to what you know about classical forces. These are good questions, John. I mean, we're finding out what people shouldn't waste their time trying to adapt Coldplay to. So we're trying to get you to this, some, you know, treasure, siedra, madra, gold...
Do they involve, like, coulombs?
They can.
Cocoon?
Coulombs.
What'd you say?
Coulombs. Coulombs.
Coulombs. C-O-U-L-O-M-B. Right, coulombs.
Does it involve that?
He said it could.
It could, but not necessarily. So it could involve coulombs, but not necessarily? Okay, so... You said there's no energy, so this isn't even involving energy.
Galileo's vision.
Ines talked a lot about Galileo and Galileo's night vision. I don't know much about it, but he just answered that.
I think it was Indigo Girls had a tune called Galileo, and have you referred to that?
If you call on the resting soul of Galileo, king of night vision, king of insight, possibly.
Right, that's the Indigo Girls?
That's their lyric?
Yeah.
Who were the Indigo Girls? When did they show up?
Well, Ion's been quoting them. Every time Ion talks about Galileo, he's referred to that tune.
Now, when did that happen, that tune?
Next Tuesday.
Yeah, in the land my grandchildren had no knowledge of. Okay, so...
in the land that my grandchildren didn't recognize of.
So, John, that's good. I didn't know that came from a song. Maybe I knew it 6 months ago or something.
Yeah, I just heard it one time, and I realized Ian was quoting it.
Yeah, look, Ian quotes pop culture all the time for good reasons.
Yeah.
We may not know the reasons, but let's go into what it means. You're asking something, and he's saying, look to Galileo. What did Galileo know?
Okay, so Einstein referred to Galileo concerning relativity, and Galileo first noticed that if you're in a boat and you're floating...
If you're a little man in the boat, and if you knock the little man out of the boat, you might most be happy.
Okay, all right, so, oh boy. Okay,
Well, who is John Lycaonis, is that character? The character's always tired. Emo or something from, Winnie the Pooh. Isn't that a Winnie, you have a
no,
kind of...
No, Eeyore, that's
Eeyore. You have an Eeyore aspect, John. Oh my.
It won't work. I don't know why we didn't kill ourselves when we had the chance. We ran around here and it won't ever come to it. It's terrible. Can't believe it. We've gotten this far down the abyss.
I only sound that way when I get confounded, which is what usually happens when I talk to Ion. So
you
I
get
guess,
what?
Yeah.
What's the word? Constipated? What'd you say?
Confounded.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
I guess when I'm confounded, I sound like Eeyore.
Yes. I don't know why you expect we should help you at all. You don't fucking attend. You don't fucking contribute.
I'm not asking for help. I'm just putting out... stuff to talk about.
Yeah, well, you must have to recognize I'm being a saint in relation to you. If we actually marked people and their efforts, see who's naughty nice, you wouldn't even be allowed in here. Because I expect people to contribute when they come here. But we try not to have any rules, so we're letting you speak, and you've got some good questions. So go forward and be happy you're not Eeyore.
So Coldplay, does it produce electricity?
It does.
But it may or may not involve positive and negative charge, and it may or may not involve magnetism with North and South Pole. Is that right?
We didn't say.
Well, Bob, I can't work with that.
Yes, you can. You go on to another topic, another part of it.
Well, okay, the impression I get is that Coldplay, it produces electricity, which may produce it in the way that we know, but
no, it doesn't.
Not...
I think we already established that we it doesn't involve those aspects. Isn't that what we said 3 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago?
No, what Ion's saying is it could.
It was a long time ago.
What was a long time? It was a long time ago, right. What did you say, John? Go ahead.
What Ion said is it could involve classical physics, but not necessarily.
You don't even know what classic physics is.
I got some idea.
Do you? That's interesting, because every time you get a good, clear understanding of what classic physics says, the day after tomorrow, CNN says it's been debunked, deboofed, despoofed, despooled, redone, rerun, rewrote, rewrite, rerover, re-re, everything else you can do a rabbit to a stump with, including being stump broke. Even your Newtonian fucking bullshit now officially has no merit anymore. So, how physical, unless you're Olivia Newton-John, really doesn't seem to help much.
That includes quantum mechanics? You're including that?
Don't even know what it is.
You talked about quarks being 180.
We know what they are, but you don't.
Well, yeah, well, okay, so I'm asking.
We're not being mean. We're just saying it's becoming...
Well, I've never heard of 1/8 of a charge. So now you've got 8 quarks, is that right?
We already answered that, yes.
All right, so it went from 1/3, which is 3, to an even number of 8. Do these things actually exist, or is it a mathematical convenience?
Insane in the pea brain.
And why the hell does a proton involve partial charges, whereas an electron is fully, you know, one negative charge?
Protons aren't complete. Protons aren't complete. Electrons have to have the negative world to connect. Otherwise, they would never connect.
So electrons are complete, but protons are not?
Complete.
That's what you just said.
Harsh.
We're learning, John, that everything's becoming. A lot of things are incomplete and becoming. That's what's fun. Like even our knowledge of the angel diagram is becoming.
Well, it's becoming because in your less than state, you don't know what the real state is. So it's only from the gaze of the dashboard light.
Do you want to help me out, Bob, or are we done on this one?
No, no, we're always becoming, John. We don't finish. No finish line. You can go back to what you started this conversation on.
Well, my initial question was, why is there an asymmetry between positive and negative charge? Like, first of all, is there a positive charge and is there a negative charge? Or is there maybe one charge?
No, neither.
There's neither charge.
Apparently,
okay.
Specifically speaking, there is flow, but it's not due to a charge.
Is it due to magnetic influence?
No.
There's a magnitude that's been measured between positive and negative charge, or north and south poles. So what is that measurement if those things don't exist?
No, it's measuring the furthest distance between those poles. Poles exist. It's just not the driver. It's not why your hypothalamus works in your meat sack body.
Well, it's interesting, Carolyn. He brings up the hypothalamus. That's been a new realm of knowledge for us, John. Do you listen every week? Do you keep up with what we do?
Yeah.
He's not even listening now.
Yeah, Eeyore, you're pretty pitiful, but you ask a good question. Don't go this far.
And they're great fun. You're doing great.
Yeah, you're doing good, John. I mean, nobody else has done this.
Since we're gods and we create everything that's out there, We made up the bullshit of positive and negative charge in North and South Pole.
You also made a pencil and griddle. You call it a classic.
Yeah, when you hang around with iron, John, you're not impressed with any creations that humans have made.
Compared
to what we're making.
I mean, you know, I've gotten aware of that, yeah.
Good. Can you afford the drops, or are you rather Eeyore in relation to the drops?
Yeah, I can afford them. I'm about to buy some.
Yeah, you're going to get an advanced generation.
That sounds good.
Personally, I never really was attracted to going to the details in science. Something blocked me, so I prefer to study ideas, literature, and art, and things like that. But I'm finding out now, I'm really glad that I didn't learn anything on the level Carol knows of science.
He studied hockey, that's all he studied.
Yeah, hockey. I studied the mechanics of hockey. F equals MA, scores! So the point is that I didn't have to give up any of these old concepts. Shut up! I'm trying to say something, John. Is he saying icing? I iced the fucking John. Can you dig that as a Canadian? Anyways, the long ice.
Icing, is that what Ryan said?
Yeah, icing. He's claiming that I fucked up the game here by just throwing the puck way down there. But it's just a point.
Yeah, right.
I found that I can now learn what's happening to the degree we even require learning. Because I don't have any of these old concepts. So now I'm learning science, but not based on any of the jibber-jabber that scientists use. Because I see what we are doing, and we know the old terms don't fit. So I'm encouraging you to take what you know, move away from that by asking about what you thought you knew, and then try to see what new things would be said.
For example, how brilliant it is to create a device that gauges ohmage. And the way it gauges ohmage is it tells how much resistance it doesn't have. How brilliant is that?
So ohmage is a gauge of what resistance is not there?
Resistance. It's traditionally resistance, but we find out, oh, there's no ohmage. Good.
You get no resistance in superconductivity.
Ask about how that is related to what we're doing. Yeah. Ask
that. Oh, good Lord, he slipped into Nicholas Copernicus.
How'd I do that?
Ciphering again, we have.
Ion, does superconductivity exist or not?
It does.
It does. And that's where you get current with no resistance. Is that right?
So far.
Now, John, there's a good point. So far. You know, scientists are trying to get laws of nature, and Ion says there's no laws. What I've learned with working with Ion is there are trends, patterns, semi-truths for a while, and then you get to the next level or next production, and then it doesn't apply. So remember, what I am saying is just for a while until you and us get to the next level, which is pretty good. Okay.
So what I was curious about regarding superconductivity is I'm going to go to the old science and refer to Ohm's law. You can't have current without resistance, and yet superconductivity produces current without resistance. So that really breaks Ohm's law, and I'm just wondering how the scientists explain that.
They can't. That's what's wrong with it. They can't because they don't understand it.
Yeah, so we want you to work towards getting a new understanding.
Yeah.
The scientists are failing.
It's Coldplay something like superconductivity.
We feel like Kitty Carlisle of What's My Line describing this nebulous thing you're trying to embrace.
You know, personally, I don't really care. I'm just trying to, you know.
You don't care about what?
You know, it doesn't matter one way or the other, although the ideas exist, so I like talking about ideas.
Yeah, well, we're doing that.
No worries.
And you don't collapse it. I don't care. So ask about superconductivity and what might apply, even if ion says it feels like Kitty Carlisle.
Is superconductivity, where you get current without resistance, is that like Coldplay?
Like Coldplay. It is resemblance of Coldplay.
It's resembling Coldplay?
Would resemble it, yeah.
Right, but it's not the same. Well, interesting.
No.
Is the human body a superconductive organism?
Sort of a stretch. Depends on what those charged electrons connect to.
Well, let's say they're in a membrane, and the membrane is carrying charge across, so that would make a membrane a capacitor, and you got 50 trillion membranes, yes?
At least.
With that kind of capacitance in the human body, does that contribute to the human body maybe being a superconductor?
Computer says no.
But there is quite a capacitance within the human body with over 50 trillion membranes surrounding cells. Is that part of the human body being like a receiver and sender, similar to a radio?
If a computer receives an email, is the computer an email?
No.
If the human meat-sack body has electricity in it, is it electricity?
No.
If 0.9 deciliters of salt would balance your conductivity in a meat-sack body that isn't even electrical, would it balance it?
I don't get that question.
Well, welcome to our world.
The impression I get is that all of these things that we measure and categorize and use instruments to measure, we could ignore with all of that.
But it's not happening, and Reverend Stang has proven this time and time and time again. You run around here with ridiculous, inappropriate in every way, little people, and they have this constant proclivity to chat. Then they get to making shit up to one-up themselves, and the next thing you know, incredible towns are being moved on floats, and 75-foot lionesses are flowing through the streets, and turkey birds are flying through the sky in parades that can't even exist. Now you take and add that to descriptive adjectives that create, and you kind of have to figure out that there's got to be a parade before any of that other stuff matters. So until you connect the dots that this is what we're trying to do and how it's going to be laid out, you can't answer every question on the sun, moon, stars, trying to get some balance points. Well, they said my shoulder hurts, but I don't know what my shoulder is, so I can't say whether it hurts or not. Ion, does my shoulder hurt? Does it hurt? Do you feel it? Well, it's a little bit tender, but it's not terrible, but I don't have any idea, blah, 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 blah. You don't even know where you were that you got to. So it's hard to know where you were. So when you receive these epiphanies, as it were.
I was looking at a map of Africa that happened to come into my house, and you know, I'm looking at the Red Sea, and I'm looking at the Sinai, I'm looking at the Jordan River.
Does your map show the land of Canaan?
It doesn't say Canaan, no. So Canaan would be right along the Mediterranean?
It's just across the River Jordan.
When Moses, they could have gone straight north right into Canaan, but instead they went into the Sinai, went south, and at some point they must have crossed the Jordan south, and then we're in Jordan, and then eventually, you know, do the big crossing into Canaan. So they would have crossed the Jordan twice, once on the Jordan side.
Where on Midia.
I was looking at the Red Sea. Like, it didn't seem like the best place to cross. They could have crossed north, where there's some little lakes, or crossed south of the Red Sea. I guess that's the Jordan there. Like, why the heck did Moses cross right over the big Red Sea? Like, that wouldn't be the best place strategically, but that's where they went. And then I guess they decided to wander in the Sinai, and instead of going north, they went south to get rid of the complainers, I guess. Is that how that works?
Hey, Ian, is a factor that John's not considering is how different the map was then than what he's saying today?
It is now. And then the one that's becoming, then they're going to find a replacement for it that's older than the one that's wrong now, that hasn't even been calligraphied or painted yet. They're sending back. They'll find it in the door and says, it's hieroglyphics. No, it's cursive writing. They don't teach it anymore.
And this is an effect of us re-looping the King James Version that we were talking about, the rebobbing the Bible. Will evoke this original. You get that, John? See how insightful I am? Something I picked up half an hour ago is what we're going to see. See, I know nothing.
All right, because I'm looking at it, and none of it makes sense to me. That's why I'm asking the questions. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, all right. So
you're getting somewhere.
All right. Now, the thing is how many people did Moses have with him when the Genesis occurred?
You mean the Exodus? The Exodus.
Sorry, the Exodus. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
300,000.
I've been looking at that, and archaeologists cannot find evidence anywhere in the Sinai that might have supported that many people. So they tend to think the story didn't happen. It's just fictional. Is there a place that archaeologists could look that would support the idea that 300,000 people were living there and doing their thing?
Rivers of Babylon.
Along the rivers
of Babylon.
So that's what, the Euphrates and two others? That's not for me. It's just for, you know, if there's an archaeologist out there. I'll just change once more. I just don't get the connection between the blood of the lamb in Moses' story, where they put it on the door, in front of the door, and the angel of the Lord would not smite the firstborn. So that's in the Old Testament. How does that relate to the blood of the lamb relating to Jesus? I don't make that connection. Like, was Jesus in the Old Testament? I mean, you could
certainly
look at it that way.
Well, certainly. All three of them were.
So the blood of the lamb in the Old Testament was Jesus' blood?
Yep, it was the altered chromosome 14 stuff we talk about. That's the only wisdom in all the scriptures of all the religions. The only important wisdom is the altering of the blood via chromosome 14. The cross refers to that, and people had it in the Old Testament days as well as now.
And so you
so
could remember
always
it until you could remember it. It's a remembering. It's putting it back together. You're remembering, reanimating something so that you can remember that that's what you were coming from. And you hit it in every functioning thing, everything you're discovering, everything you've already discovered, everything you want to discover, that's where you found it. Hansel and Gretel left crumbs those crumbs or the very last thing that it's going to take to shift and change your bodies.
When you say lysine, are you talking about methylated lysine?
Ask Dr. Dean. Maybe she'll help you.
The only reason I ask that is because methylation makes it really sensitive. It can target a very specific area on the chromosome to mark and to cut. So methylation to me says very much more sensitive, much more accurate, much more precise.
Good. That's not bad.
Actually, yeah, we have trimethylysine.
Yeah, and it's just a lot more sensitive. You would use that to really be quite specific as to the area you want to mark and cut into.
Hey, John, do you know, have you heard us say that the reason the phrase the blood of the lamb is referred to is because the blood of the lamb is the closest to an ascended human's blood?
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah, that's all it means. Called the blood of the lamb because that's all the humans had to measure the ascended blood to or to compare. So pretty simple, the operation in the Christian myth.
Okay, so do we drink lamb's blood?
No, you find Bob, and Bob works for a couple centuries and brings in chromosome 14 RNA drops with the help of his bride. Now you're taking it, and you will be altering your chromosome. Well, you'll be altering your DNA via the chromosome 14. That's a simple message. This has never been available to humans before on a huge scale.
Okay.
See? That's the good news here.
Yeah, right. There's news. There's news. Call CNN.
There is news.
And, you know, we're analyzing. We talk about the eye cell is an effect or is the agent or the catalyst. We asked, what's the substance of the eye cell? We've gone into a lot of this stuff. That's what we ask. We'll talk about the electron charges in that part, but we're getting the chemistry of it. But we don't release that yet.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you should be asking about.
Okay, negative pH. Is that an inversion where perhaps instead of a positive proton, you've got an electron at the center?
It can.
It can, but not necessarily. Oh, boy.
Not always.
Has there ever been a molecule with a negative center in place of a proton?
Things are changing, you'll see.
Because I was trying to understand what negative pH might be, and so I thought maybe you invert the chemical structure where instead of a proton, you've got an electron at the center of an atomic structure. To me, that sort of might explain negative pH. Otherwise, I don't really understand what
negative
pH is.
Well, John, for you, you're just going to eat the negative pH, okay? Taking the RNA drops and other living water, you'll be eating negative pH, or its effect, or something like that. Now, we've analyzed and assigned details about what you just asked about, substance of negative pH, and we've got details on that, but in the end, it's just your mind trying to come up with images, and it's not that important. It's the eating of it that's important. So you're going to have
all
scientists puzzling, scratching their head for the next 50 years as our products do their wonders, and they're going to try to fit it into their old knowledge or make a few compromises and adapt it to their stupid knowledge, new knowledge.
Well, I understand
that.
That's
and they'll try to make a cheaper version of it, and there'll be a bunch of idiots. So you just have to stay in touch with us. This is the academy. This is the laboratory where things are happening. That's why you've been very delinquent, not attending and participating. We don't want listeners. We want people to ask questions. You're asking very good questions here.
Well,
we'll bring you back next week to continue.
Next week I wouldn't have much. It takes me a while to put
it on. You can come up with other stuff. Just look at other parts of your life. Other forms of not ask about painting.
Oh, that would be one night in Bangkok.
What would be one night in Bangkok?
A session with you, which would
your memory.
This has been a,
your brain drain memory rememorization.
Okay,
John.
Next time when I call in, I'll talk about what I'm doing art-wise. But otherwise, you know, and
well, you might get, if you re-listen to this, you should get new questions.
Which I will do. Just one final thing. Yeah. Jesus was a Nazarene, right? Or at least one of them, which would be described as westernized Jews, the Nazarenes.
You'll find a God in every golden cluster.
I don't know what that refers to.
Well, it sounds like the racial makeup, tribal makeup of Jesus is not important compared to his ascension characteristics.
Well, that is ascension, no matter what. He could be a Negro loving Jew and it wouldn't matter.
All right, so that doesn't matter.
So what he was doesn't matter. It's what he became, John. It's what he became that's important.
But, you know, the Nazarenes were interesting, so that had no influence. It didn't matter.
But they're not as good as us, John. Nothing in history is as good as the Iondom. This is what people are going to realize. But we don't need to hear about anybody. They all failed.
Did Christ actually raise Lazarus from physical death?
We did.
From physical death?
Yeah. They did it again recently.
Oh, yeah.
So I am going to be the witness.
So Christ didn't do it, you did?
We did.
And Christ had nothing to do with it?
He just ascended.
Okay, because I read somewhere that Lazarus wasn't physically dead. He was considered spiritually dead, and he was raised from that.
Well, the scripture said that he wasn't dead. He was but asleep. Jesus just recognized that he was asleep. And he was pretty rotten after 3 days, but that didn't have anything to do with it. You'll find a God in every golden cluster. Angels sliding up to you?
I'm not sure what I am referring to there.
Did you just say you asked me you could feel
he
the angels sliding up to
him? Yeah, there's not much between despair and ecstasy.
There's an angel right beside you, John, right now. So
okay.
While we move on to the next questioner, you feel it. So thanks for your brilliant questions.
You're welcome, Bob.
Get stupider over the week, get back to the basics, and we'll expect more contributions next week.
All right, okay. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Ion.
Thank you. You're welcome always. Oh, when you lose it, it's in your left desk drawer, second drawer, down from the top.
All right, I'll
leave. Yeah, don't leave, John. No, you don't have to leave.
I have to go.
What's more important? Who's drawing you? You got some family or something? Is that more important?
No. I'm paying for the call. I'll just shut my phone off and listen on the radio.
Okay, good. All right, goodbye. So now, Ginny. Ginny's here to ask her Voynich manuscript question.
Hold on. I'm still pulling it up. I just started my computer.
While she's doing that, Ion, John, you know, asked some interesting questions, and it reminded me of the book by Emanuel Balakovsky that I read that attempted to explain many of the incidences that were described in the Bible, such as the parting of the Red Sea and stones going up into the air. Is there any basis on what Balakovsky had as a description of why the Red Sea parted because the planet was coming close and changing the gravitational pull? Is there any truth to that?
No, not specifically. They're pretty words, but they just don't apply.
Had you ever read Emanuel Balakovsky, Bob?
Yep, McLuhan's written on him in the book Take Today.
Which book?
Take Today, The Executive is Dropout, 1972.
Yeah.
Okay, it says here on this page, this guy's an expert on the Voynich manuscript, and what he writes about it was that it was owned by Holy Roman Emperor Rudolf II. Is that an accurate statement, Ion?
Okay. There are two. One is in vellum, one is not. The one that's in vellum is handwritten and not known.
So the one that's known, is that a significant manuscript? And did this guy own it?
No and no.
So the one that's known is not significant, and it was not owned by the Holy Roman Emperor Rudolf II.
That is correct.
And the one that's not known, you said it's on vellum?
Yes.
This says that they did radiocarbon testing on the one that they have now that is known, and it's vellum as well. Is that accurate?
Well, if it's vellum, yes, you can do that because there's no time. It'll tell it's up radiocarbon testing. They're using the radio, CKLE, and to answer questions about high and mighty things like how long you've been on the radio. If you use the radio to tell you how long you've been on the radio, now you're listening to the archives. So then it would be, how many times did you re-listen to the archives? Well, don't know. How many times did they play the archives? Now you're re-listening to a listening.
Yes, but it's delicious every time, so, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, it can.
Gant's asking all the questions then about the one that's not known is not necessary because it's not significant. It's the one that's unknown that is actually mysterious.
Well, there's no superfluous code or codex that you're trying to find in this little soiree.
So there is no ciphering to it. It's not. There is no code to this thing that they're all looking for the code to.
It'll come. There will be one. You're just not going to find it yet. It's a little bit ahead.
Okay. It appears as to be a book of diagrams and also a different kind of handwriting.
It's scribble scrabble.
So it's not really a language. They're saying it's a language.
Well, you'll have to ask your resident Noah Webster lexicographist, Captain B. Fart Robert L. I'm going to get it as hard as I can as long as McLuhan stays in his stone cold crypt. McLuhan never, I'm never going to get it if I don't ever. This sure am good. Herschel Walker, the good one. Bob Dobb never is. So, yeah, till he says it ain't, then there it is. Ooh.
Bob, this is a language then, or is this just handwriting? You're the expert on language.
I haven't seen it. I don't know. Don't ask me yet.
Oh, you haven't? I just did, and they just said.
That's why we call him the good one.
Walker, the good one.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah, I thought you were familiar with the manuscript and had seen it. So you haven't seen it.
They
aren't even, the people who are professional, trained, seasoned professionals don't know what they're looking at. So how in the world are you going to leave that to Bob?
And
I've seen a picture of it, and it's basically not decipherable is what I saw about it. They don't know what it is. It's like they think it's like Finnegan's Wake, or Joyce modeled Finnegan's Wake on it or something. You know, they make that connection.
Well, they think, I mean, they're making it sound like these curious drawings, a lot of which are botanical in nature, and these incomprehensible diagrams along with all these instructions. It looks like an apothecary's kind of notebook. It's got all kinds of, you know, diagrams and flowers and herbs and all kinds of things in them, growing patterns and everything. So, you know, it looks like it's some kind of a special instruction or something about how to maybe heal or treat illness or
okay,
disease. Maybe it's
it
from another world.
Ask if it is.
Is that what it is, Ion?
No.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how close am I?
It's a picture book, so 2.
It's a picture book, so too. It's a picture book like the kind you used to use with your thumb to make motion pictures, or what do you mean it's a picture book?
It's a cylindrical delineation of a transparent abstract.
So if you roll it in a cylinder, it's transparent and you can look through it and see something, a representation of another thing, like maybe the angel chart or something like that, the perfect cell?
Or you can put it in your hookah and smoke it.
Okay.
That may be more
fun.
Make it more good at it. Take that book, roll it up, burn it, smoke it. It's good.
Okay, very good. And so the world would not be a worse-off place if I got the original manuscript and actually rolled it up and smoked it. There, we would not miss anything in not knowing what it is or what it means.
Precisely not. It would be a grand day.
If you go into dupes and that inventory, which is on the first page of the stickies, where I gave topics that we did on cash flow for about 6 months, just write in coinage. It'll give you the date that that's on, and go listen to the archive and see what Ion said about it. There might have been a sentence or two thrown in there. But that's
okay.
What we got. Ion, was there a satirical intent in the making of the manuscript, Ion? Was it just the bullshit to baffle brains?
But it didn't even do that. Nobody even cared.
So it's not an apothecary kind of, like, everybody's trying to get at it because they think it's got some super secret recipe, like to Fountain of Youth or some kind of special elixir that's coming from another world or something. So that's not really, nothing close
that's
to that is really going.
That's in Sandestin.
Sandestin.
That's a place. I am.
Yeah.
Sandestin in Florida?
Yes.
The fountain recipe? The Fountain of Youth.
Oh, okay. People go to die, yeah.
It is a 2,400-acre destination resort in Florida where the old people do go to die. So, anyway. All
right. Right. There was some famous Spanish explorer, I think, found the Fountain of Youth down there or something.
Ponce de Leon.
Ponce de Leon.
Yes.
Did he find something there? Well, let's find out about him. Did he find something in a parallel world?
He found out at the barbecue joint. They put a loaf of bread on the table. They have a good barbecue.
Does that mean any sense? What did he just say? What did he say?
Something about eating barbecue, but it didn't make any sense to me.
He discovered something. Here's the thing. You're directly involved. All these other people, Dan Winter, Reverend Stang, Arthur Coker, all these people think there's some significance in some past artifact. You know there's nothing compared to what we're offering, and it's all just crap, everything we ever heard of, unless it changes in its becoming due to what we're doing. So we're not impressed with anything that's ever been done.
No, Bob, it's just polite chit-chat. It's static fuckery at this point. I mean, unless we're going to talk specific details about when something is going to occur, like when the living waters or when I get my cold fusion battery.
No,
doing
don't
really
talk
is
about that. Don't talk about that. That's what'll just keep it at bay. We can't
That's right.
ask for it like
you
that.
You can't want it. Yes, I know. But yeah. I'm just saying that, everything's static fuckery because, you know, we're just playing with Ion, talking about patterns and destroying mythologies and fun things like that.
Fatty fuckery is a jumping off point into
yes.
what we don't know, and that's what's good about it. So
yeah,
no
yeah.
problem. It's like bringing up ideas and not looking at them as incredible stuff, just knowing there's a repository of mortar and language that we can use to trigger Ion, because Ion requires words to get things to be said.
Right, but if you, like, for example, like the looking at the Voynich thing, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this might be an interesting trigger because maybe there is something buried in the 240 pages that's worth ferreting out and talking about, but Ion's kind of saying no, so then we jump on to
right.
the Fountain
of Youth.
Right,
we'll usually get that answer, but we can bring up the topic, which you did, and who knows what we'll learn from it. I mean, learn about Iondom. So it's triggering
right.
by association. Okay, good. So we got that's about it for the one. Let's see who else would like to speak. Sean in England, do you have any dad you want to ask Ion?
Hi, Ion. Have I been interpreting the stuff with the birds that I've been experiencing right?
Correctly.
Yes, am I going with it because I'm really enjoying it?
Well, that's a personal... Of course you are. That's up to you. You know what I mean? Yeah, whatever. It's up to you, your answer to that. How am I doing? Did I come yet? Ion? You know, these are silly. Don't ask about how you're doing.
I would like to
come up with some knowledge. How's your documentary on me coming along? Ask about the documentary you're making on me. That's a useful topic.
Yes, well, then I would just say that is done and good. Awesome.
No questions about it?
Well, if I say I don't. Yes, if I say it is, then it will be.
Okay, Gilly, bring up another topic.
Well, basically, how to is like I've been doing the thing about manifesting food. I did it once, but I want to do it more. Well, I don't use money. I just bring stuff in.
Okay, you're stating the situation. What do you want to ask about it?
Well, just to play with things, say, let's start off with food. So I want to make it that more food just appears. Well, I'm not using money to buy it.
Yeah, so what would you ask about that?
Okay, how to?
Okay, ask Ian.
I am.
Don't ask him. Just ask. You don't have to say hello. No acknowledgement. He's there or he isn't there. You just ask it.
How can I be more accurate with creating things like food? Okay,
that's
so then what would be more?
Shut up. He's speaking.
You don't create food. Food already is. You embrace it in your reality or not.
And that's with everything generally that we think we need, because I get that we don't actually need the food. We enjoy the food. And then do we apply that to other things as well that we enjoy, like clothes?
You can.
We haven't got much time. I'm going to move on. Some people didn't get a chance. Okay, Charlie, you got a question?
Did John Nash come up with a new theory for gravity before he died?
Not a very good one.
Did it have anything to do with his death?
No.
Was his death an accident?
Contrived.
So it wasn't an accident? Or it was a quotation mark accident?
It was contrived.
And why would somebody do that?
He did it.
He committed suicide.
Oh, okay. That was really my only question. That was the only thing out of my mind.
Okay. We'll see what other people have. Thank you for your question. You got a question, Stacy?
When John was speaking about the cold fusion, are there any other benefits from cold fusion that you're at liberty to talk about?
Cold play.
They're a very good band.
So that's a no. When John was asking you questions about the Exodus, did they spend that whole time on this world, or were they on a parallel world during that period?
There are many worlds involved, so yes.
Was the majority of the time spent on this in this world, or?
It's relative. You realize perception is notable.
Where's Brew Joy now?
Where's what?
Brew Joy. It's an individual.
Who's that? Brew Joy. Is that a person?
Brew Joy. Joy like in happiness. J-O-Y.
And what's the first name?
Brew, B-R-O-U-G-H.
Is that
or maybe
it's
P-R-O. No idea.
Lithuania.
Thank you, Ian.
Brew Joy, Stacy.
Oh, an individual I worked with at one time, I studied with at one time, that's worked in different modalities. He used to be a physician, quit being a physician, and went into work like, I just went blank, the psychiatrist in Switzerland.
Carl Jung?
Yes, Carl Jung.
Okay, another question?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, next person. All right, you got a question?
Where is Olof Palme? I mean, we saw him being killed in 1986, and he was our version of JFK.
You talking about your prime minister?
Olof Palme. He was our prime minister, and he was our version of JFK.
May Brussels used to talk about that scandal.
Can you give us details on Olof Palme?
He's in Europe.
He's in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was he knowingly doing an exit? Did he plan it himself? Did Bob help him exit?
Always.
I help everybody.
Always on which one of those questions?
Bob helping.
So, if we are going to redo 1960 to 1990, is he going to be in again?
Yes.
Good. That's fine. There's a documentary running here on him, which is rather nice. Can you tell us something about our version of CERN, which is coming up here? It's called Max Lab 4, and it's got its own hydrogen collider. Is it going to be as active in the environment as CERN is?
No.
They say it's going to open in 317 days. Is that even possible?
No. Well, it's not going to work. They can open it tomorrow. Wait a minute. They can open it tomorrow, but it's not going to work.
Then will they use it for the same thing? If we have a hydrogen collider, which is going to open in just about a year.
Oh, okay.
And they
particle collider.
Say that they will use it to find new materials and all kinds of fantastic things. They are even saying they are going to investigate the non-physical. What do you say to that, Ian?
Well, you're thrilled, but you don't have to go that far. You're doing it right now. You don't need a $2 billion grant to say you did it.
Yeah.
No, I know. Is it going to activate our hypothalamus, for instance, or help us in any way? Not only waste money?
Well, they won't, but you're on the way. You're doing well.
Can you tell us something else about this new hydrogen collider that could be interesting for us to know?
It's an incredible waste of time.
Will they find any new materials or anything and come to any of the goals they want to find?
No.
Okay. That was a large European hope.
Hope is good to have, but it's never a good strategy.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the pyramids in Bosnia. We were sniffing on it almost a year ago, but then you said that capstones of different pyramids could activate other pyramids. Is that so?
Yes.
Are these rather hidden pyramids in Bosnia important for us to discover more about? for humanity or for me personally or for Bob.
Yes.
For the sake of geraniums.
Geranium? Flower. Flower.
Geraniums, yes. Okay. So you want me to go there and find geraniums? No.
No, for the sake of geraniums.
These pyramids are covered up with soil and forest and all that. Is that man-made, or did man have that happen through nature?
Well, you're describing most of the eastward civilization now, so...
I'm talking only about the pyramids in Bosnia. What are you talking about?
All of them in general.
Can you tell me more about those pyramids?
Yes.
They seem to be placed in a very nice triangle. There are three of them, apparently, already mapped in geometric alignment.
Yes.
Is it interesting for us to know more about these alignments and how it correlates to Egypt?
Yes.
You got to go, right, Ion?
Do.
Thanks a lot. Which song would you like me to play, Ion? What do we go out on?
The Humpty Dance.
Thanks for showing up, Ion. Thanks for telling us so much great stuff.
It's our great fun. We see you this same bad time, same bad station.
All right, my first song tonight will be The Humpty Dance.
Abby Jacobson with The Humpty Dance.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather around. I'm a little fool in town, and my town's laid down by the underground. I'm drinking a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf. So just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk me. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to funk me. I'm fucking tall, yo. And just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos cut me. I like the rhymes, I like to be funky. I'm spunky, I like my oatmeal lumpy. I'm sick with this, straight gangsta the Mac. And sometimes I get ridiculous. I leave the ball, you crackers, and you're looking rich. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I got you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy. I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. I'm crazy. I love it to amaze me. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girl's pants, and I even got my own dance.
Why did you pick that song?
I know that song
mm-hmm.
is one of Miss Glazer's sexy songs.
No, hold on. Let's back up. Are you telling me that the Humpty Hump makes her horny?
Yes. My goal was to psych her out with horny.
Oh, so I have her over freak, like, you know, like rubbing her back so she pulls her checkbook out.
Exactly.
Oh, I feel you.
Yeah.